You have them. I have them. The doctor that you go to, he has them. The nurse that works there in the doctor's office, she has them. The bank teller also has them. The lady that works at the bowling alley concession stand also has them. The grocer has them, and so does the individual that is helping you bag your groceries. The hairstylist that you go to has them, and so do your children. Your husband has them, and so does your wife. Your preacher has them, and so do the church leaders. Hey, the person that is sitting to your right, or perhaps to your left, the person in front of you, or maybe even the person behind you, also has them. And what I'm talking about today are habits. Every single accountable human being today, even if they're not accountable, has habits. Would you agree with that? So today, we're going to be talking about developing the right godly habits so that we can have a successful life with Jesus Christ. Folks, some of these habits are very, very good that people have in their life. You know, there's people that have a habit of reading and studying the Bible. What a great habit to be in, amen, to be involved in those teachings. Some people have the habit of studying the Word of God. As I said, a great habit. Others make it a habit to spend enough time with family, not letting their buddies get in the way of being daddy, not letting work get in the way of doing what you need to do with family. There are good habits of keeping your home up and maintaining your home in a good, well manner, managing the family's affairs in a correct and proper manner. What a great habit that is indeed. The list is absolutely endless when we talk about wholesome habits. Then we have those that in life possess some unhealthy habits, some undesirable habits, like the use of a foul language or abusive language, not a good habit to be in. Excessive drinking that we know that people are involved in, not a good habit. Using illegal drugs, not described or prescribed by the physician, not a good habit. Speeding while driving your vehicle, not a good habit. Smoking cigarettes, well, I know it was hard for me to quit, not a good habit. Gambling, what that can lead to, not a good habit. Neglecting your duties as a dad or a mom, those things, not good habits. And ultimately, neglecting so great your salvation, a horrible habit. Amen. So we can sit and we can talk about habits, good and bad. But I want us today just to kind of cover three or four points, things that we can consider as we talk about developing the right habits in life. Some Christians today have such a habit of neglect, and it is so sad that people are involved in that. Many that neglect the service of the Lord without even blinking an eye, looking very lightly on the fact that we are to assemble at every single opportunity that we can. You know, people talk about, why do these preachers just continue on and on harping about attendance? Well, look around you today. You know, this building should be full, shouldn't it? The people that know about God, the people that claim that they love the Father, and yet they have to be begged and pleaded with to attend the service of the Lord. You've got to make those phone calls. You've got to send out cards. Nothing wrong with encouraging and trying to encourage and lift people up. That's what the Lord expects us to do. But I guess I'm too immature to understand this. If a person truly loves the Lord, if a person truly wants to worship in spirit and in truth, why then must they be begged and pleaded with to attend the services of the Lord? Does that make any sense? I don't guess I'll ever understand. I guess I'll just never understand how one can neglect so great their salvation, neglect the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, and then go through life like it's no big deal. It is a big deal, and here's why it's a big deal. Not just because the preacher's saying this, but because of what the Lord is saying. The Hebrew writer, inspired of God, said, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. So we see clearly the Hebrew writer, inspired of God, was told to write it down so that Christians, you and me, would understand it. And then in the very next verse, in Hebrews 10:26, if we continue to sin willfully, after knowing right from wrong, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. So the Lord is telling us, do we agree the Lord is telling us, if the congregation of the Lord's people is assembling, should you be there? Does that make sense? But look at the very next verse, and people are in a habit of neglecting the assembly. if you continue to sin willfully, because is it a sin to not do what God's calling us to do? I'm getting some people not answering. Okay, Paula, you agree with that? All right, so if it is a sin to do that, watch what 10:26 says. If we continue to sin willfully after knowing right from wrong, there no longer remains a sacrifice of that sin. So I want to encourage myself and encourage you that we need to maybe perhaps change our attitude toward worship. I know you may, if you're sitting in the pew, perhaps I'd be thinking like you and Jerry, you're preaching to the choir, we're here. But it's because the news that we hear, the good news that we hear, we are to take out and share it with our families, aren't we? We're to take it out and share it with our co-workers and our neighbors and our friends and etc. Granted, there are reasons that people can't be here, but there's also excuses that people are using why they can't be here. There's also people that have developed the attitude like, I will do it later. Just this past week, we get a telephone call. Hey, I'm sorry I couldn't be at the services. You know, I had ball games, and here's where they were, and here's where I am. You know what? I want you to tell God that on judgment. You don't owe me a response to that. There are others that had promised that they were going to be at the worship services. Why do people get so caught up in thinking that that's something that you can give the preacher for Christmas or his birthday? For your birthday, I may drop by the church. No, for your salvation, you better drop in the church. Amen? But then we have the people today that just so look so lightly on it. It blows my mind, though, when I see someone that is sick, see someone that can barely move around. I see someone that is walking in the door carrying an oxygen bottle, and they never miss the services of the Lord. And yet we have all these healthy people, and you know what is taking place? Softball. Oh, for the love of God, don't ever miss a softball game. Amen. For the love of molasses, don't ever let me miss a bowling tournament. For whatever it is, don't you let me get caught up in that. Let me tell you something. You do not have to beg me to come to church. Amen. I want to be here. You should have a desire to be here. And if you don't have a habit of gathering together with the Lord's people, I'm encouraging you to hit the front row because you need the prayers of the congregation. Not to be critical, but we should want. How are we going to appear before God on judgment? He's going to look at you in the face and say, yeah, you did a lot of great things. And man, I'm glad that you love me, but why did you forsake the assembly? So many opportunities. You could have helped these other people. I am struggling, congregation. I need your help. There are people in the congregation today that is struggling. You need our help. Amen? Ultimately, we need God. So when you're at home and you're kicking back, doing whatever you want to do, you're not encouraging Jerry. And I'm selfish. I need that encouragement. Is that okay? So I bring that out. Let's develop these habits. I need to change some of my habits regarding my walk with Jesus Christ. But I think, to be fair, we all do. Does that make any sense? We've got to change our habits. You remember when you first became a child of God? Think back to that. You remember when you first became a Christian? You remember how so serious you were about the Lord's church? You remember how excited you were? How fired up you were that if my life was required of me today, I'm going to be in heaven with God? And that you would not have to be begged and pleaded with to come to the service of the Lord. You know why? Because you was in a habit, weren't you? You was in a habit of coming to church. Why? Because I love God. The Bible says in John 14:15, if you love me, you'll do what? You'll keep my commandments. Habits are constantly with us. Some are good, some are not so good. Some are known, and some of the habits we have are unknown except by God. Folks, that is why it's so important for you and me today to take a look at our lesson from God's Word, developing the right habits. Listen, if you desire a successful life with Jesus Christ, you must develop positive habits. Positive habits, brothers and sisters, will develop that winning personality. Do you believe that? If we can just get ourselves doing these habits, these positive habits, it's going to transform us. It's going to make us a different person. Listen, positive habits, it always brings on happiness. Positive habits will help you and me to look at the brighter side of dark things. Do you agree with that? So what are some of these positive things? What are some of these positive habits that we should be developing, if I may, and then make sure that not only should we develop them, but we should also maintain if we want to have a successful walk with Jesus Christ? Let me give you just a few points this morning, and then you'll be able to leave with this lesson. First of all, here's your first point. I'm convinced, according to Scripture, that we must develop a habit of positive thinking. Does that make any sense? We must develop a habit of positive thinking. I said this part before, no stinking thinking. You remember that? no stinking thinking. It is a known fact that every idea which enters into our mind immediately tends to express itself in action. So the things that's coming into our mind, if we've got anger and malice and wrath and all those things coming into our mind and in our hearts and we're filling our hearts with it, it won't be long till you're one of those grumpy people. Amen? It won't be long till you're one of those people that says, oh my goodness, don't say anything. Here she comes. Here he is. Be very careful. He or she'll go off the deep end. He or she'll get their little posse, and that'll be, this is how that little deal's going to be. That's not the way we as Christians should act, is it? We should have a habit of what? Godly living. We should have a habit of marching in the line with Jesus Christ, emulating Jesus as much as we possibly can. Is anybody in here in agreement with me? So I want to take a look this morning at Philippians chapter 4. Anybody welcome to go there? I'd like for you to do it. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. Friends, it is a known fact, seriously, that every idea which, and I want to say this again, Brother Larry, every idea which enters our mind will do one or two things. It will either make us form good habits or bad habits. Does that make sense? So we have got, Teresa, we've got to concentrate and meditate. What's my other word for it? Medicate on the Word of God. Because that's what it is. God's Word is medication for our soul, isn't it, Dana lad? All right. So let's take a look and see what's happening. Philippians 4, 6 through 9. Rejoice in the... All right, we are in Philippians chapter 4, and you're engaged. Are y'all ready? Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse... Let's just go in verse 6. I said verse 4. I like verse 4, but let's go to 6. Be anxious for, but in everything by... And with, let your, who you going to tell it to? And when you do, watch what happens in verse 7. And the peace of God which surpasses all under, will do what? And your mind through who, sis? Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, the Bible says, give me these next four words. Meditate on these things, the Scripture says. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do. And the God of peace, he promises to do what? Thank you, darling. He promises to be with you. And the God of peace. Isn't that what we're looking for today? Aren't we looking for the peace of God that can fill our hearts with God's understanding? They can fill our heart with love, peace, happiness, and security. That's what we're looking for. Folks, when we have the peace of God within us, I assure you that a positive attitude will arise and it will promote itself. You hear me? It will promote itself to a positive habit of positive thinking. I have to go back to the book of Proverbs, if you will, Proverbs chapter 23, down in number 7. The Bible says, for as a man think in his heart, thank you. So is he. I love that passage of Scripture. Listen, if you want to develop the right habit, develop habits that the Lord is pleased with, think on godly things. Think on things from above. Listen, it's so easy in this life today to get bogged down with bad habits and so on. So today, let's be sure, you and me together as a team, let's be sure that we kick the habit. Now, when I smoked cigarettes, I smoked Winston, because I stole them from Dana and my dad, okay? But I remember the old cigarette commercial. Anybody remember that? Let's kick the habit. You remember that? Even though they were selling cigarettes, they were still trying to get people to quit. Never understood that. I guess it was a legal thing. But y'all remember it's time to kick the habit? Y'all remember that? So only me, Sis, and Eric remember that. The rest of you guys are lying. That's a habit you need to get rid of. So the reality is, let's kick the habit and truly concentrate, seriously. Let's concentrate things that are uplifting, things that will encourage our own soul and the souls of others. Think on things that are encouraging and rid ourselves of the negative thoughts. So what is a habit that we can get ourselves into that will help us through our life? What is something that we can do, seriously speaking, to help us? We can have the habit or start today developing the habit of positive thinking, no stinking thinking. Now what we have to do is be on guard for that. When someone is coming up trying to contaminate our minds, trying to bring us down, did you know that you can look at somebody and not ever hear a word? My wife does that to me constantly. I'll be talking about something and Paul will be staring, looking straight at me, and I'll bickering about something. I'm not happy about this and I'm going through it. And I give about a 9 to 10 minute perfect oration that I think, you know, that everybody understands. And Paul goes, and I'm serious. She'll go, oh, I'm sorry, did you say something? And then she'll go, you will start that over. And I'll go, I'm hungry too. Where do you want to go eat? It just kind of ends it all, doesn't it? I said, why do you do that? She says, Jerry, when you're not talking right, I build a wall. I look at you in the eye so that you think I'm listening. And when you finally get tired and shut up, then I'll say, I'm hungry. Where do you want to go? And it works. The reality is we have to develop our thought process, don't we? We've got to really think upon positive things. The second point I want to examine this morning is this. I believe and I'm convinced by Scripture that we must develop a habit of, you're going to think this is elementary, Jerry, but we need to get in a habit of prayer, a habit of study, don't we? Y'all agree with that? Let's get in the habit. Not let's just do it, but let's just get in the habit of prayer and study. How many folks together in this room today have a habit of studying and reading God's Word? All of us should. Amen? Well, let me ask the question in a different way. I don't know if people still do this or not, but how many people have a habit of reading the newspaper? Anybody in here? Not anymore. Okay. That's good. I'm proud to hear that. Because I don't like the Tennessean or the Banner. And if they said their Banner's coming back, I cannot stand putting obituaries in the Tennessean. But when I think about that, I think about magazines. I think about newspapers. I think about all this different literature that people can read. And sometimes they'll read it from cover to cover, but they won't study the Bible like they should. I'm glad to know that we're not into the newspaper anymore. I used to tell Paula years ago, we got it. And I said, I got to get rid of this. And she said, why? I said, because I think it's better titled Depression in Print. Because when you look at it, the only reason that we should have a newspaper today, if you want one, is to cut out the coupons and read the obituaries. You can see if there's somebody you don't like died so you can celebrate. That didn't sound right, did it, Teresa? All right, so we want to be able to, because that's all we looked at. Coupons, obituaries. Got in the funeral business, scratched that out, didn't need it anymore. But we need to be sure that we're in a habit of studying God's Word. Countless folks that literally have to read different things from cover to cover to cover to cover and never study the Scriptures. I want us and encourage us to be sure that we're involved in studying the Word of God. We should have that burning desire to be able to get our hands hooked to our Bibles. Amen? You know how some people are like that about their coffee. Some people get up in the morning. If they don't get their coffee, Brother Larry, don't even talk to them. Man, they're grumpy until that coffee hits their stomach, until it hits their belly. Don't even say a word to them, my little sister Dana, but I'm not going to bring up any names, I can assure you of that. But as soon, it's just like, I remember Dana growing up, seriously. I remember this. She was like 15, 16 years old, the only kid I ever saw in my life that loved coffee that much. I don't even know if she drinks it anymore. But I remember she would get up and you'd go, I would say this to her, Bobby. I'd say, good morning, sis. And she would go, what? And I'm like, no, I mean, how are you? And frown. So then mom would break that thing out and stick a spoon. That's the kind of coffee we had. Put it in there and pour hot water in it. Dana would swig on it. You could hear it all the way outside. And all that, which made me mad as a wet hen. And she'd do all that. Then mom would give her this little chocolate treat. What did I get? Lucky Charms that were stale. But after Dana got her little coffee, she'd come in, hi, Bubba. And all that. I'm like, no, it's a little late now. Jack, step back. But people are like that. They get in a habit of a certain way, a certain pattern, a certain way that things have to go. And if it don't go that way, you get grumpy, don't you? I submit to you that's the way it should be about the Bible. Until we get up and get our hands up to the Scripture, until we can read our and study our Bible, we should have that burning desire. Do you agree with that? Let's get in a habit of studying and hanging in there the Word of God and growing with it. Not only study, but also prayer. Paul told Timothy about that over in 2 Timothy 2:15. Remember what he told him? He said, hey, study to show thyself what? Unto God. A workman need not be ashamed. Be sure you're rightly dividing the word of truth. Matter of fact, 2 Peter chapter 3, down around verse 18, the Bible says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. We all need to get in the habit of studying the word of God. Don't answer this out loud, but are you in a habit of studying the Word of God? Have you got yourself studying the Word of God systematically? Many of you do, perhaps many of you don't. So this is not a critical question, but it's just something to remind us as we have certain habits in life, let's make sure that we implement that one. Let's make sure that we pull that into our habit. Is that okay with everybody? All right. Also, prayer is the same way. I love what the scripture says in Luke 18:1. Man, I ought always to pray and not lose heart. I think about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 down in verse 17. Huge, huge impact. Three words. Pray. So do you have an active prayer life? Do we have a habit of prayer? I know that I do, and I hope that you do. As soon as I wake up in the morning, before I ever get out of bed, I have to start thanking God. I feel over there and see if Paula's breathing. If she is, I say, thank you, God, for waking her up. Thank you for waking me up. And when I'm able to see the sun coming up, I say, thank you for my vision. Thank you for the fact that I can recognize, God, who you are. Thank you, God, that I can recognize who I am. Amen? Because it's sad, but there's people in the world today that don't even know they exist. But God is good to us. Let's make sure that we have an active prayer life. I'm so proud of this for myself as a Christian and for others, that when we go to a restaurant and we're sitting in there and people are gathered around and you look at this particular table that comes to the left over there, and right when the food gets delivered, you see them all bow their head. Isn't that cool? Three of y'all thought it was pretty cool that they prayed. Do you think that's a good thing? Amen. Are we doing that? Or when the Big Mac gets brought out, are we just like, shoo, gone? Guilty, done it. I ain't happy about it. I need to get in a better habit of that. Seriously. There's many times at a restaurant, if there's a big number of us, you know, if it's a buffet thing or whatever, we get up, we get our food, we sit down, and we're waiting on this, we're waiting on that one. And sometimes you're like, go ahead and start. And before long, everybody's burping and through, aren't they? And nobody said a prayer. But we need to get in a habit of praying and offering thanks for what God's done for us. Amen? The third point I want to consider this morning, as we talk about developing the right habits, you and I together, me and you both, we must develop the habit of looking for the good in others. Paula said last night, you've been bringing that up a lot lately. That's because we're still a critical group of people, aren't we? We can be so critical. We can be so harsh. And we can be the type of people that can quench the spirit of someone needing help. I'm not saying that we are to be passive when it comes to Scripture. I'm not saying that we are to compromise the integrity of the Scripture. But I am saying you are not my judge and I am not yours. Amen? We are to live our life pleasing to God. Esther, if you and I see something in a different light, I am not to condemn you and you're not to condemn me. Just because I don't believe it exactly the way you believe it does not make me wrong or you wrong. We both might be wrong. We both might be right. I cannot walk out of here and go back there and say, Rob, Esther's crazy. I mean, Jerry has said that. I'm just being honest. I mean, I'm just kidding. But the reality is, I can't go and tell somebody else and be critical of Esther because she and I don't believe it the same way, just the same way she can't go to Stephen and say, Jerry, there's something wrong with him because he don't believe this. That's wrong, brothers and sisters. The Bible tells us that we are to reason together. Amen? That we are to sit down and reason together. Heather, you and I may not totally understand things exactly the same, but I don't want to ever quench your spirit and I don't want you to quench my spirit. Don't be passive. If we know it's blatantly against Scripture, we need to say, I'm just not convinced that's what this says, and perhaps you need to study that a little bit harder and leave it alone. Because I promise you this, Dana, if you argue religion and you argue Scripture, both parties lose. You get that? State your point. Talk about what you believe the Scripture says. Share that with the one you think is the offender, and then move on to the next thing. There are some things that people argue about that's really not a heaven or hell issue. Do you get that? There are some things that we can look at in the Scripture. Whether Jesus used a finger, his finger, when he wrote, knelt down and wrote in the sand, or whether he used a stick and engraved in the sand. Don't really matter, does it? Has no bearing on whether I'm going to heaven or hell. But people will get so dogmatic. They will get so legalistic. Well, wait a minute. If you use his finger, Dana, which one did he use? Did he use his left hand or his right hand? Did he use his index or did he use his pinky? Could he use his thumb? I don't know if a thumb's called a finger. You're getting the point. Let's get in the habit of encouraging, lifting each other up, doing what the Bible calls us to do, and exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I don't need you to judge me. I need you to help me. You don't need me to judge you. You need me to help you. Amen? Is everybody with me or not? Okay. Let's look for the good in others. Paul addressed this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7 is what I've got. But I want to go ahead and hit all these. Okay? So we're going to do 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 13. All found? The Bible said, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I become as a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. That means it's nothing, right? Just a bunch of noise. Everybody with me? Though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and knowledge, though I have all the faith so that I could even remove a mountain, but I ain't got no love, the Bible says I'm what? Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but if I don't have love, what does it profit me, Heather? Very good. Love suffers long and kind, doesn't envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not all puffed up and arrogant, is it? Doesn't behave rudely. Love don't even seek its own. It's not provoked. How much evil does it think? Thank you. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hope all things, endure all things. I love verse 8. I hope you do too. Love never fails. When there are prophecies, they will. Whether there are tongues, they'll cease. Whether there is knowledge, it'll vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, what did I do? For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. But then I shall, watch this, but then I shall know just as also am known. Now abide in, here it is, abide in faith. Say it with me. Abide in faith, hope, love. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I want you to do verse 13 with me. Has everybody got their Bible open? I was wondering, like four people sharing, so we got it, or else I can't hear, so holler a little louder. Y'all ready? Verse 13. Let's go. Now abide in these three. You see how easy that was? So you just cost yourself 2.5 minutes of getting out earlier. And so that's it. Abide in faith, hope, and love, these three, but the grace of these is love. Listen to me. Jesus himself, do you agree that he looked for the good in other people? You remember, anybody here remember the thief on the cross? Anybody on this side besides Teresa remember the thief on the cross? All right. So we do remember the thief on the cross. When Jesus was up on the cross as well, do you think that he saw the good in the thief that was on the cross? How do you know that? Because he said, today you will be with me in, thank you, Teresa, in paradise. He didn't look at his crimes, did he? He looked at his heart. The lady that he had met and caught in adultery, you know, that he told to go and sin no more. He didn't look at her crime. He didn't excuse it, but he didn't look at her crime. He wasn't looking at her evil at that point. You know what he looked at? Her what? He looked at her heart. He said, go and sin no more. He was looking, Jesus was teaching us to look for the good in other people. Amen? Quit being judges. Don't forget what Jesus said, seriously, about not to worry about being a judge. Because he said, too many of y'all, let me paraphrase this, too many of you are worried about the little old speck in your brother's eye, and you got a plank in your own eye. Isn't that about right? So we got to be careful with that. So let you and I, seriously, begin truly trying to do the best we can about looking for the good in other people. In Matthew chapter 5, 38 through 48, the Bible brings that to life. So let's make it a point today, seriously, to really, really, really desire to look for the good in others. And let's spread that around. Has anybody besides your preacher ever been guilty of spreading the negative? Okay, I've done that, and I'm not proud of it, but I've done it. Dana Ladd, when I find something that is negative, like Sis does, and Larry, with the way he drives and Sis drives, I should keep that private, shouldn't I? But I don't. I always say, did you see the way Cynthia Wilkerson pulled out of the parking lot? Man, one of these days, she's going to catch that pole right there. She's going to flip Mom upside down, and we ain't never going to find her in back of that Nissan. But the reality is, what we should be doing is not me talking about Sis's driving, but I should be talking about the fact that she's driving her mom to church every week. You follow what I'm saying? Even if something negative, Bobby, I'm not saying be passive, but I'm saying let's find the good in it and then encourage that individual instead of being so critical. Does that make any sense to anybody? So we've got to make sure that we look for the good in others. And then let me give you this last point, and we're going to go home. We must also develop a habit of persistence. We've got to be persistent in our walk with Jesus Christ. There are people today that are seasonal Christians. You ever heard of that? When things go bad, when people's lives turn into turmoil, lose loved ones, they got this happening, financial setbacks, you got all this going on. Well, there's a world event that changed the world, like 9/11, all these others. What happened to the building? Packed, wasn't it? All over the brotherhood. All these preachers talking, man, what am I going to do now? I've got all these people. We'll rejoice in it. Be glad that they're coming to the services. Yeah, but what do we do when we change everything and about 4 months they're gone? Well, in reality, that's about right, isn't it? I submit to you, brothers and sisters, that whether we have 12 people or 1,200 people, be persistent. Amen? Be persistent in our teaching. This is really, this one's a pretty easy to understand. Jesus said it best when he said, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looked back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Does that make sense? So if you start something, don't be quitting. Don't tell the Lord you love him and baptize into his death, burial, resurrection, and then put on this breastplate of righteousness and then walk 6 feet and take it off and forget what you did. It's not going to do you any good. The Bible says you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Did I say it or the Bible say it? Paul said it clear in 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So, folks, listen to me. If you want to live a life that is pleasing to the Father, stay persistent in his work. Bible class teachers. Keep going. I know it gets heavy. I know it gets tough. I know that times will take its toll. It's hard to find time to get the lesson together and do this, that, and the other. Sometimes, as you very well know, I present lessons that we've heard before. Last Sunday on judgment, I was asked to bring another lesson about judgment. That lesson you had heard just a couple year and a half back. But then again, walked out, people, the same people that asked me to do that lesson, walked right and said, "Thank you, that helped me again." There are times that we need to revisit. How often do we revisit the Scripture? Not enough. I like that. We need to constantly be meditating upon God's Word. Amen? Bible class teachers, even those of you that are teaching these little ones, when you don't think you're having an effect, and my grandson gets in the car, and I can't even remember the word he used, Larry, that you and Darlene taught him. It was some king or somebody. Who was it? You remember I came to you and said, "Who is this?" And you showed me in the Bible, and I still didn't have any idea. So my grandson explained to me who it was. And then so I'd go to Darlene and she cleared it up. The people that are teaching our children, keep it up. The people that are teaching the adults, please continue on. I know it gets tough from time to time, but don't give up. Preachers, for those of you that are preachers out there, it's tough. I know, I'm telling you, seriously. I know how it feels to get those late-night phone calls, the calls of criticism. Have you ever noticed, for those of you that are preachers, very seldom, and I'm not trying to be the bad boy here, but very seldom do I get a telephone call later in the evening that says, "Hey, Jerry, just want to tell you, thank you." I cannot, being honest, and I'm not petitioning this, I cannot tell you when the last time I got a call at 8:30, quarter to 9, 9:30 at night, just said, "I just want to call and tell you, thank you." Not in years and years and years. Well, maybe it's me. Could be. But I do get the call that says, "Why did you say that in the pulpit? Why did you do that? Why didn't you say this? Why didn't the church do this? Why have y'all," and here's what I don't understand. And I got members here at James Avenue. If you're offended, good. Why is it that some of our members here at James Avenue say, "Why do y'all do this? And why did y'all not do that? And why did y'all?" You're part of the y'all. Amen. If you don't like what's happening, do something about it or hush. Pretty simple, isn't it? But people want to bicker rather than work, don't they? They'll sit back here in your little pew, and some of these Sunday mornings, I just like, "Lord, give me the strength not to go back there and pop them." Because, you know, you just called me 48 hours ago on a Thursday night telling me what we should have done. And then I have a couple this year, not here today. But a couple here says, "Well, I just don't understand why this. And as soon as I say, "Well, why don't you initiate that? I'll help support it. I will get involved with you when you drive this thing." Never hear another word. But it's always what y'all need to do. If you're looking at us as a y'all, there's been a problem as far as your relationship with this congregation. Amen? because this is good grammar. There ain't no such thing as a y'all. It's us. It's family. Will we always agree? No. But we should always love one another, encourage each other. Amen. So preachers, keep on preaching, even though it gets tough. When it gets real tough, just seriously, write that person's name down who offended you. Wait 6 months, vandalize. There's also church leaders. Let me talk to y'all. That's all you male members. I know it's bound to be tough because you get all the criticism as well. Why didn't you do that? Why will you do that? And then you have the people that make the promises about what they'll do and won't do squat. It's always the one that says, I will do that, I'll do that, I'll do that, and they don't join in. Why am I bringing that up? Because sometimes that can be very debilitating. Do you agree with that? Spiritually speaking, it would debilitate us. We've all got to be careful. Does that make sense? When I sit and tell you that I'm going to do something, Heather, Esther, if I tell you I'm going to do something, Rob, if I tell you I'm going to do it, and then I don't do it, that can set you back, can't it? Who's going to be responsible for that? Exactly right. So let's just develop a habit of persistence. Church leaders, keep on going. I know it's a huge responsibility. Hang in there. Don't give up. Get in and stay in the habit of persistence. I'm going to close the lesson. But I believe as I close, there are some habits. I'm going to give you these as we close. We're not going to elaborate much. But do you agree we need to all get in a habit of kindness? Jerry, that is something lacking in our world today. Restaurants. I forgot where Paul and I went the other day. We went to a restaurant, and the lady that was going to take an order was just like this. She leaned against the thing, and she was calling out to me. And I said, yeah. And she goes, yeah. I said, I haven't asked you a question. How can the answer be yeah? Well, then she laughed. And now she goes, oh, can I help you? I said, that'd be great. And then we placed her order and went on about our business. No kindness at all. And then I got to thinking, maybe nobody's been kind to. So we placed our order. It wasn't much, but I reached in my pocket, pulled a $1 bill out, and I handed it to her after I paid the thing with my credit card. I gave her a $1 bill. Paula, did she come to our table? She walked out, and she leaned over, and she goes, thank you. She goes, you know how long it's been since anybody's even smiled around here? Now, it wasn't Jerry. It wasn't the dollar bill. It's the fact that somebody finally showed some kindness. Velma was telling me a while back that she would go to Walmart or wherever she goes, and she always tries to be good to the people that's checking her out. I don't mean like some dude checking her out. I'm talking about like checking her out at the register. So she started being real nice to the people, and now they remember them. They remember, this is that lady who's so nice to everybody. We need, seriously speaking, let's be more kind. Is that all right? Wholesome speech habits, Jerry Sr., Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men, they see your good works, glorifying your Father in heaven. I need more myself. We need to develop a stronger habit of forgiving other people, don't we? When you sin against me, I need to, in my mind, immediately, as soon as I'm offended, I forgive her. I forgive him because the same way that I sin against God and I want him to forgive me, Matthew 6:14-15. Hey, we can also start being more thankful. Does that make sense? Please, all of us, get rid of this entitlement attitude. For the love of molasses, 2 Oreo cookies and a glass of chocolate milk from Carnation. Let's please get rid of that. We all seem to have this sense of entitlement. He owes me. She owes me. They owe me. My mom and dad owe me. They owe me this. And we don't owe you squat. For those of us that are children, no matter how old you are, we raised you. You're grown, get to step in. I love you. Come back and see me. Take care. I'll do it when I want to do it. Is this making sense? And then these other parents that sometimes give no acknowledgement to their family, to their kids, come on, tighten that up a little bit. All right, I know y'all are not getting ready for me to hush. Be more thankful. Get rid of the entitlement. Develop an attitude of responsibility. Man, listen. Take responsibility when you mess it up. Amen? Claim it like David did. Larry, didn't David claim it? He wasn't happy about what he did, but when you mess it up, say, I messed it up. I'm sorry. Please forgive me and mean it. You know, I used to get myself in more trouble because I was pretty vocal about it. Jerry, did you say that? Yes. Did you do that? Yes. Are you sorry about it? No. And because at that time I was in phase two of my pouting process. I have to go to phase four before I get over that. So just take ownership in it. Let's get in a positive habit of that. And then as I close, let's all get in a habit of following God and not mankind. Follow God and keep His commandments. Is that all right with everybody? Today's lesson was a little bit different. I realize that. But I wanted just to remind myself, because the lesson was really designed for me, hopefully you can gain something out of that too, that we need to develop positive attitudes. Positive, godly attitude. Amen? Today, if you're not a Christian, I hope that you'll become one. It'll be a great habit to get into by being a Christian and following Jesus. Hear His word, believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, live faithful unto death, and always remember that we are indeed. Today, if you've wandered from the fold of safety, maybe you still got church attendance is good, but you know what? You just hadn't been doing right. Maybe you've said some things that are critical. Maybe you feel like you've debilitated some things and want the prayers of the congregation. Let us pray with you before we help you in any way we can. If you need anything at all, come now. It's together.